Welcome to Pets Tell the Truth. This program is dedicated to understanding our animal companions on a deeper level. I'm Dr. Agnes Thomas, psychologist and animal telepathic communicator. I'll be your host as we listen to what our animal friends are saying, and as we appreciate the way they view the world, their missions, and their spiritual insights. The first part of the show, I will discuss how people feel about their animals with our guest, Dolores Gray. The second part is reserved for listeners to call in with their questions. And we would appreciate tonight if you would call in, you do not have to give your name, about how you feel about your pet, what it means to you. Or if you have questions about religion or ethics in relation to your animal, does it go to heaven? Questions like that. The worldwide toll-free number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Tonight's show is being brought to you by Garnett Publishing in Cleveland, Ohio. Garnett is calling for finished manuscripts, so if you have a manuscript that you would like to share and see published, contact them at Garnett, www.garnettpublishing.com, or telephone them at 216-458-6100. They are the publisher of my book, Pets Tell the Truth, and the publisher of my Animals Tell the Truth wisdom cards. And on each card, it says, "What can you teach me today?" And the card that I pulled for today for myself was a picture of a dove, and the message is about love. Animals know only unconditional love. When you love an animal and it loves you back, it is really the experience of the Creator's love for its creations. Bask in it. There is nothing like it. Rejoice and be grateful for it. The Creator will give you more tomorrow. Very appropriate with regard to what we're going to be talking about tonight. I would like to introduce my friend, Dolores Gray. And Dolores is an animal communicator, as well as my good friend. And she took one of my workshops on how to communicate with animals. And she does very well. And I've asked her on the show tonight because she has just lost her beloved pet. And I would like to have her, in her own words, tell you the story of her kitty, Squeaker. Dolores?
Thank you, Agnes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. The card that you read tonight was so appropriate. I mean, that was meant for me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes,
Tell us about Squeaker.
Yeah, it's a topic that doesn't seem to come up very often on losing a pet and how people grieve and the process that they go through, you know. So Squeaker was a very special cat for us. My husband Dan and I, we had her for 13 years, and she was 14 when she died. So we got her when she was about one, and we're Army people. And we were at the military academy. And when she was just a young cat, she used to go, when the cadets would come over to our home, she would sit in their laps. She would make them feel less lonely. I mean, she just knew people that needed her. So naturally, later on, now when she developed lymphoma, it was very traumatic for us. And she passed away at Dr. Hamilton's pet hospital. And it was very bad, you know, for Dan and I, like I said. But it seems like the moment she died, okay, I was at home and I was waiting for news, and about 5 minutes before the phone rang, I got this overwhelming feeling. And I remember I just stood up from my chair and I just started to cry. It's like I felt her presence leaving. I've never experienced anything like it. And I don't know if people are familiar with the saying of Rainbow Bridge. What it says is, at the end of time, when we're on our way to heaven, we stop first at Rainbow Bridge, and that's where our beloved pet meets us on the bridge. So I remember I prayed out loud. I said, Squeaker, honey, I said, go to the bridge and wait there for mommy because I'll be coming. But it's okay. If you want to go, there's people and other animals waiting for you. I no sooner said that than the phone rang, and it was Dr. Hamilton to give me the news that she had passed.
Tell us who Dr. Hamilton is.
Dr. Hamilton is an oncologist. You know, obviously Squeaker had cancer, so he works primarily, you know, with diseases of that sort, and he's done amazing things. And just by going there, I mean, I've heard so many success stories and so many happy people, and that's why I really thought that I hoped I could have been one of them, but unfortunately. But he's a wonderful man. He's doing amazing things, and people travel in from other states to see him, you know, with their pet. I know I've talked to people that made the journey. They make the journey every week for their treatments, you know, and
for chemotherapy?
Oh, yes, for chemotherapy.
Okay.
And he's a very loving man. And when Squeaker died, he even sent me a beautiful written card, and it meant a lot to me. So when she died, I was having a hard time. And this is what I wanted to discuss tonight, is the whole idea of what do you do when your beloved dies? Because for many years, I know, even growing up as a Catholic, you know, animals just didn't go to heaven, so they told me. I could never believe that. I know many people couldn't. And I've noticed that over time, that's changed. Because as a matter of fact, I have priest friends who will validate the fact that animals do have their place in heaven. So she died in the hospital. And the one thing, I didn't want to just go and see her there, you know, just, I guess they keep them in coolers. I didn't want to just go and see her in that state. So I called you, Agnes, and you told me about a wonderful place that's here in Ohio called Boston Hills Pet Memorial. And they were so kind. It's a family-run business. So the woman's husband went to the hospital, picked up Squeaker's body. And we didn't get down right away because of my husband's work schedule, but the following week they had her presented for us. We went in. It was just like a mini funeral home. And we walked in, and she was laying on a satin pillow. She had been groomed and fixed, really pretty. I could tell that she had been brushed, and they had a little satin blanket covering half of her. And then on one side they had a candle. On the other side they had a tabletop fountain, very soothing. And she had other candles lit, and it was just overwhelming for me. It was just so beautiful, you know, that I could do one more thing for my beloved Squeaker. So my husband and I came, my neighbor came, one of my best friends and her daughter's husband. So we had a little group there, and we all filed in, and we prayed, and, you know, and I blessed her with holy water, and you know, we were in there for quite a while, too. And the good thing is the people there are so compassionate. They actually let us come after hours. It was a Saturday. She said, we close at noon, come at noon. That way you won't be bothered. So it really helped in the grieving. I just felt a weight lifted from me. I mean, it's hard enough to lose an animal, but to have it treated like it's not important, I just don't understand that. And this whole process helped me to realize that, yes, there are other people out there that feel that animals are that important.
You know, I've taken my cats there, too, because it's one of the places where my veterinarian feels that you're guaranteed to get back the ashes of your own pet. And
that's important. I think people should ask questions like that and not just take anybody's recommendation.
Yes, I was touched by the way they treated Squeaker, as you described to me, and how sensitive they were to your grief and your affection for Squeaker, and how they understood what it's like to lose your animal. Tell me, Dolores, did you look around the cemetery?
When we drove in, it was overwhelming. As soon as we turned into their driveway, it was just a massive, you know, graveyard. I mean, all these beautiful memorial tombstones and candles, and I believe they have somewhere in the area of 20,000 animals buried there. This is like a fourth generation run cemetery. And it was absolutely beautiful. It, a lot of love is there. And I thought, my gosh, there are people out there that feel the way I do, that their pets are important. And you read some of the tombstones, and it just breaks your heart. I mean, one said, "Rest in peace, my darling, until mommy can hold you in her arms again." And so many say, you know, like Skippy, the best dog in the world, you know, and then a few down, there's the other best dog in the world, you know. And just such heartfelt, you know, emotions. And something about knowing you're not alone that gave me comfort.
And you're grieving that
right.
Other people feel like you.
And another thing is when I called and, you know, spoke to Michelle, she's one of the owners, and I was, of course, in tears, and I start telling her a little about Squeaker's life, and she started to cry. You know, so even though she works with it every day, you could see that she hasn't gotten calloused, or, you know, it's not just a job, but she really cares.
That means a lot. The way they prepared the body for you to view, with a little satin pillow, a little blanket to cover.
Yeah, a little satin blanket. And
you can tell that they honor the life of that individual. Even though it's an animal, it's still a living being and a creation of God. And it was very nice to hear you say that when you were telling me about this, that they were so kind. They've always treated my cats very gently and very lovingly, too, and they allowed me as much time as I wanted in their chapel to say my goodbyes to my animals when they passed away. Did you end up cremating the remains?
Yes. I've always had a hard time with that because, you know, again, growing up Catholic, that was always a big no-no. But since then, you know, those rules have changed. And,
yes.
You know, and it is, I picked out a beautiful urn. And the rule is, my husband's aware of this, when I die, I want my cats with me because I do have another one that had been cremated. So I picked out a beautiful urn, and I said to Dan, I says, "Oh, this will look beautiful in my casket. Let's get this one."
Yes, I know what you mean.
So
I used to work for a cemetery, a very elegant cemetery, where my husband and I have burial plots, and he's already there. And I knew from being in the funeral business that you can put any personal memento that you want in your casket with you. And I have all my deceased cats and pets in little cans in my dresser drawer with instructions that they're to be put in my casket and buried with me. And I've asked my animals in the afterlife if that's what they would like, and that makes them very happy. It's a very deeply personal thing. If it's a human cemetery, they won't let you put a marker for the cat or for your animal, but you can certainly put anything in your casket that you want. Because there are regulations concerning cemeteries where some people are allowed to sprinkle the ashes of their pets in flower beds in the cemetery, but technically it's a human cemetery. But the inside of the casket is your property, and you can do whatever you want. And so that's where mine are going, too.
Right. Another thing, Agnes, that we did was... I have two other cats as well. I've got another Squeaker was solid black with a little white mark on her belly. And I have another black cat named Mariah and a tortie named Raquel. And I have a Pomeranian and her name is Shelby. And we took all three of them to the funeral home. The cats were in their pet carriers and Shelby on her leash. And they, one by one, I held them up and they each sniffed her. And then they wanted to get down. I think they already said their goodbyes before we took Squeaker to the vet, because I think I just sensed they knew.
They knew she was.
Because
fine.
It was very rare that all three of them would come around her at one time, and that's what happened. That's why that even gave me the feeling, since that happened, that something was going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm. That was very thoughtful of you with regard to the other cats, too. Now, people may think this is silly, but it's not, because the other cats are and the dog are family members, too, and they grieve the same as we do. And many times animals die, you know, at the veterinarian's office or in the hospital, and then, you know, their remains are sent away to be either buried or cremated. And the cats at home or the animals at home don't know what happened. And even when I went in the hospital for my last surgery, and I was explaining to the cats that I would be going to the hospital, and Nanda says to me, are you going to the place where you don't come back? Mm-hmm. So that's how they think about it. And I said, no, I will be back. I will be back. But they know there's a place that animals go and they don't come back. They don't fully understand that something has happened to them and that they're no longer here. And people can tell this to their animals, because animals understand what we say. It's just that most people do not know how to hear animals. But it's very, very important to explain to your pets that one of the pets has died and they went to be in heaven, or they went with the angels, or whatever your religious beliefs are, or how you would explain it. And when you explain it, you should explain it like you're talking to a kindergarten child, because that's how their mind is. They're very innocent, and you have to talk to them in very simple words. I had a lady call yesterday. Her cat passed away, and she wanted to know if she could talk to it. And usually it takes about 3 days for me to get a good connection on an animal that has passed away. Because when they die, they leave their body and they're picked up by angels and they're carried to the afterlife. And they're a little disoriented because, first of all, they're not in their physical body anymore. And it takes them a little time to get used to having an etheric body. And the first thing they notice is that they're no longer in pain. That's very noticeable. And they say, Mommy, I can breathe again. Or, Mommy, I don't have any pain anymore. Or I can walk. Or I can climb trees again. So it's very noticeable to them. Or I can see animals that died that have had vision problems, like my first Frosty cat. I can see. And then they meet people that they have known. And maybe they did not know in this lifetime, but there are many people in the afterlife who knew them. Usually it's a grandparent. And some of them have met the animal, and a lot of them have not. But the afterlife is not somewhere beyond the sky. It is right here. We occupy the same space, but it's a different dimension. And so even though your grandfather is dead and he never knew your pet, he does come to visit you, and he's aware of how your life is turning out, and you know, your children and your pets.
Great. So it was right for me to tell Squeaker there are people there waiting for you, because yes. I know I've got aunts and uncles that were cat lovers, as well as my mother, waiting for her.
Absolutely. There are people there that care about them, and they have met them only in spirit. And cats, of course, are very unusual creatures, because they can astral project. They can leave their body and go in spirit form and travel around. And so they're more aware of the spirit form than, say, dogs are. Dogs are not prone to do that. But cats certainly are very interesting mystical creatures, and they do that. And there's always someone in the family waiting for them.
That's very comforting to hear someone else say that.
Oh, yes. And of course, I will ask them to show me where they are and who they're with and who greeted them when they came to the other side. And I see these people, but I don't know who they are. And I just describe what they look like, and the person who's calling will know exactly who that person is. Sometimes they'll be dressed in uniform. Sometimes they have a characteristic that will give me a clue as how they're related to the family. I talked to one lady, and I said, "She's your dog is with this very pretty young woman, very young. As a matter of fact, she's so young. This woman appears to be your sister. This woman could be your sister. She looks so much like you." And turned out that it was her sister, that her sister had died at 17 years old, and it was her. And she was so happy to hear that her sister was going to have her dog and be with her dog, and the dog was going to be a companion to the sister. There are many beautiful things that happen at the time of death. It's really not to be feared. We're really grieving for ourselves because we are so attached, and that being is so much a part of our life, and it's a source of love that
right.
is incomparable.
And I think a lot of times, like with myself, we just want to make sure, you know, that yes, my pet will be there, you know, because it doesn't say in the Bible that they won't be.
No.
And I can't believe that God would create something as beautiful and precious as an animal and not have a plan for it afterwards.
Oh, no, of course not. Most animals go from life to life as easily as we breathe. They do reincarnate. Sometimes they go on to other tasks or other jobs that are available to them in the spirit world. And they will act on, help councils. They have councils there that are responsible for the continuation of their species. And what the councils do is they change energy they're responsible for the form of that particular species, and they will change the energy so the DNA in it changes, so it adapts to the earth, the conditions of the earth at the time. So if we have a very hot climate, it will help them to adapt, or if the earth is more polluted, it will help them to survive under these conditions. And the council are not beings that have ever lived on the earth. You can call them divas if you wish, D-E-V-A. And I'm taking that term from Findhorn. I don't know if everybody's read the Findhorn Garden, but definitely read it.
Can you give me the name of that again? What was that book?
Findhorn, F-I-N-D-H-O-R-N.
Okay, thank you.
It's about people that grew a garden out of rocks and sand. And they are the founders of the hydroponic movement. They found that they could grow, cabbages 3 feet wide just out of stone, and that earth was not necessary. Only water and nutrition is necessary. And that's where all we go to the store and it says organic. That's where all that organic farming and everything came from, the Findhorn Garden.
And it's healthier for you.
Yeah, but it also changed the way we grow food.
Right.
And that, the earth really isn't necessary. There are as long as there's clean water and nutrition, that plants grow just, from the steam or from the water. It's amazing. If you ever put a potato in a glass of water and it will make this huge vine, especially a sweet potato, that's what I'm talking about, just from water.
I found one in my potato bin without water growing up through that.
I get a few of those, too, especially my onions. I don't use them enough. But we would appreciate callers to call in and ask us some questions about their pet, or just express to us what their pet means to them and how they feel about it. And you don't have to identify yourself. This is just very personal between you and your pet, and listeners would like to know what do other people experience when their pet dies, when one comes into the house, some of their questions about religious or ethical issues. I'm going to give you going to read a letter here that I got from a young man, 11 years old. It says, "Dear Dr. Thomas, my mother let me have two kittens. And we already have an adult cat in the house, but the cat's really my parents' cat and not mine. These two are mine. But the big cat is bothering the small cats. It it chases them and it hisses at them, and he's afraid. He doesn't want the small kittens to be harmed, and he was very concerned. So he was trying to protect them and find out what he should do to protect the kittens, because he would like everybody to get along. So I wrote back to him, "Dear Stephen, cats get 80% of their information by smell. Your older cat objects to the kittens because they don't smell like the rest of the house. Here's what to do." Now, cats are territorial, so they go, 80% of their information comes from scent. So if you don't smell like the rest of the pack, they try to get you out. 1, give both kittens a bath. Dry them with a towel that one of the family members has already used so they pick up their scent. 2, put the kittens in a room by themselves with food and water and their litter box. Let them know that all their needs are going to be taken care of in one place. Give them 3 to 4 days to pick up the scent of the house on their fur. 3, after that, let the kittens out. Do not indicate that you are afraid of the older cat harming them, because the cat can read your intentions. Act like it's nothing. 4, kittens grew up with their mother, and they know how to behave and how to protect themselves against a larger animal. If they're scared, they'll run away or hide under the sofa. Act as natural as possible. The older cat will sniff them to see if they belong there. If he sniffs them and they smell like the house, they will be accepted. After that, they will just stare at them to check out their behaviors. Kittens can be very funny. Soon, it will remember its own kittenhood, and it will think that the kittens are funny and fun to be with, and they will eventually become friends. But the key to this is the scent. We'd love to have you call in.
Just as you said that, a bird just flew into my window.
He was hearing us talking about this.
In case you heard a thud, that's what it was.
That happens often in my workshops. The birds will fly up against the window, and they will sit on the windowsill. And the deer will come forward, and they'll stand by the patio door, and they'll just listen because they know we're talking about them. Somebody, I don't know if it was you, Dolores, it was somebody else that attended a workshop just a couple of months ago at my house. And they went outside because one of the exercises was to talk to a tree. And they were looking at the trees, and to them it looked like all the trees were leaning toward my house because they were listening in. And I said, I never noticed that before, but I went back in the backyard, and I'm in a forest. And sure enough, there were a lot of trees leaning toward my house. But they had some good conversations with plants and trees. Once you learn how to do telepathy, and not next week, but the week after and the week after that, I'm going to teach people on the air how to do animal communication. Once you enter the telepathic field, it's all the same thing. You can talk to trees or rocks or plants. Anything that's alive, and of course, everything is alive.
I believe that. It's very hard for me to witness a tree being cut down. I grieve, just like, you know, it's hard for me.
Because it's a living thing.
I know, and it just, well, I'm sure a lot of people, though, I've seen on the news where people try to protect the trees that the city wants to come in and cut down, and, you know, it just infuriates me.
Well, everything in the universe is interdependent on every other thing. There's such a connection. I wonder if I have that book. I don't have it here right now. But let's see if I can find it. I was reading it today, and it's the story of a young boy who is a healer. And he talks about the telepathic field. Okay, this is called Dream Healer, and it's by a boy named Adam. Now, this kid is 16 years old. He wrote this book. He's had the ability to heal his entire life. He sees auras. And because he can see auras, he can go. This is an international bestseller.
Agnes, can you tell us what an aura is?
An aura is a light. Actually, it's a light around the body that can be photographed. It extends out of the body. For humans, it can extend anywhere from a half inch to several feet. Animals have it. I did a study photographing auras. Horses have huge, huge auras. In fact, next week I'm going to have a lady on named Michelle Davis, and she's going to talk about a horse by the name of Sweet Adeline. She's from Serendipity Stables in southern Ohio, and this horse has the ability to heal.
Oh, my.
And people bring their Michelle's an animal communicator. She's a PhD, and she has the ability, the horse has the ability to look inside your body and find out what's wrong. And then he tells Michelle what's wrong, and Michelle relates to you what's wrong. But the horse, is most known for healing autistic children. And the way she does it is she puts it, they put the child on the horse's back, and they may move, they may walk, or they may not. It doesn't matter. But once the child enters the horse's aura, the energy of that child changes, and the child becomes healed of autism. It's a very interesting thing. Now, you know, my field was child psychology and all that stuff. And it's very interesting because one of the characteristics of autistic children is they have no sense of identity. There was a woman who wrote a book called Nobody, Nowhere. And she had infantile autism. And somehow when she got to be in her late teens, she outgrew it because of the hormone change, I think. And she wrote this book and said that she did not know herself as a being with a will. And that's one of the characteristics. They never use personal pronouns like I or me. They never refer to themselves as a being. And she said she did not know. She just had a body, and this body went wherever it wanted. And she went along, but she was not in control of it. She had no idea that she had a personal mind or a personal will that she could make her body do what she wished. She just sort of went along. And finally, she grew up, and when she was about 24 years old, she wrote this book called Nobody, Nowhere, and her experience as an autistic child. And this is the first that anybody has grown up to be an adult that has actually talked about what it was like. Very interesting. So this horse can take children and put them on its back, and its healing power is so powerful, its aura, its energy, its life energy is so powerful that that it heals the child. Anyway, I was just telling you about this book, Dream Healer, by Adam, and in it he talks about what he sees, and he says that when he sees a body, he can see their aura. He always could since the time he was four. But since he was 8 years old, he became an international sensation because he was able to project himself energetically into somebody's body. He would see where the problem was or the cancer was, and he would change the energy, and he would heal them of their cancer or whatever they had. And he relates that when he was 15 years old, he was in doing football or something, and he broke his own neck. And he knew that there was a strong chance that he could die or be paralyzed. So when they picked him up on a stretcher and they took him to a hospital, he actually healed his own neck. He went into his own body with this healing force that he has. He healed the bones in his neck. And when he got to the hospital, the doctor said, he's okay. He had a broken neck a long time ago, but you can see that it has healed over, and that it had healed over by itself.
Oh, my. But he had just done it, right?
He just did it.
And they thought it was an old injury.
They said it was an old injury because it was totally healed. So he has been doing this, and he wrote a book about the energy grid and about body being a hologram. And he can look inside the body. This is something like I do as a veterinary intuitive. Look inside the body, and he can see what's wrong. And he says the inside of every body, there is a white light, and that's their soul. And the soul makes a projection outwardly of a hologram, and the hologram is the person's physical body. And he can enter their hologram. Now, this is telepathically he does this. He enters their hologram, and he goes to the spot where the energy appears to be green. And he can see the blockage that is interfering with the natural flow of the body to prevent optimum health. So he goes there, and he uses his energy to break up the green stuff. And as it starts to flow again, he can see it flowing in a circular motion around the body, and the person's healed. And he's healed thousands and thousands of people all over the world. And he does this by telepathy. Very, very interesting. Anyway, he tells about the net and how he uses it. And he recites something from the Vedas, the Vedic literature of the sacred writings of the ancient India. And it's a poem called Indra's Net. There is an endless net of threads throughout the universe. The horizontal threads are in space. The vertical threads are in time. At every crossing of threads, there is an individual. This is what animals have told me. At every intersect of these bands of energy is a living being. And every individual is a crystal bead. The great light of absolute being illuminates and penetrates every crystal being. And every crystal being reflects not only the light from every other crystal in the net, but also every reflection of every reflection throughout the entire universe. Very astute for a young man.
Wow.
And he says that any person who is intuitive and energetically powerful can access this field and query it to find any information whatsoever. He does, in other words, he doesn't have a spirit guide talking to him. This is, he just has the ability to tune into the telepathic field, or what's called the universal mind, and information just comes to him. And it's amazing the information that a 16-year-old has and the wisdom that this boy can, that wrote about. It's astonishing. It's a marvelous piece of work.
What a gift.
Yes, but he says that everybody has this.
Oh. Boy,
it's not just him.
Learn it.
Everybody has it, and they can do it. And in his second book, which is laying right here next to me, called The Path of the Dream Healer, My Journey Through the Miraculous World of Energy Healing. And his name is just Adam, and I got these from Amazon.com last week. And he talks about how he has learned, he's 22 or 23 now, and he has learned to channel this energy for the benefit of all in healing, to heal people. He says everybody will be able to do this very soon. And he also claims that he can see the seven chakras, but in some people he is starting to see 11 chakras, that our bodies are changing. And for those listeners that don't know what a chakra is, it's there are seven points along the spine, and they're vortices for energy, and they correlate to mainly the glands, like the thymus and the heart and different glands in the body. But he says now he's beginning to see 11 chakras, which means that we're really getting to be more highly evolved than we were, that even people now know about metaphysics. It's even getting more, because he's beginning to see them.
Imagine
11 chakras instead of 7.
I'm all for it.
Me too. And well, the point that we started to talk about were auras. Yes,
right.
Animals have auras. They're very much like the human aura. They can be photographed. They can be recorded from electronically. And essentially what they are is the spirit of that being.
You mentioned that the horse was able to heal.
Yes.
The young boy is able to heal. It would appear that animals, children, they haven't been affected by the complexities of life.
They haven't been conditioned not to.
Right. And I know recently on the news I had heard a story about dogs who can actually tell when a person has cancer.
Yes. Yes.
And that is that the same thing as what we're talking? I mean, that's proof.
They claim that dogs can smell cancer. I don't know if that's what they're doing because I haven't talked to one of those dogs, but I would, Adam says in his book, and of course Barbara Brennan and Valerie Hunt, what they say is they can see there is something wrong with the aura. When I interviewed Nancy Broadbent, who is an expert at moving aura around, and she can feel it. It's something that she can touch and feel. She says every once in a while you go to a place in the body where there is no aura, and your hand just sinks down.
Hmm.
And it's like something is blocked so much that there's no life energy emanating from that spot, and that's how she knows that the person is ill. And then she moves energy away and back into the clockwise motion that's supposed to be in order for the body to resume healing. There are people who do this on animals, and it's called Healing Touch for Animals. Carol Commodore, who is the originator of that, was a guest on my show several weeks ago.
I know, because I wanted to have Squeaker, you know, see one of the people that she has taught.
Yes, and you know they're doing a course in the area. Dolores might be able, you might be interested. They're having a level one healing course on Healing Touch for Animals, and I think it's sometime in September.
And this is in
Ohio. I just got a flyer in the an email about it. But that would be something. So doing healing touch.
Right. And this is in Ohio. In case some of your other listeners would be interested, this particular workshop.
If you're in the Cleveland area, it is going to be in the Cleveland area. You can email me, and I'll forward that flyer to you. I think it would be something very interesting because it's a matter of taking your energy and projecting it out of yourself, or not just your, but yeah, being a vehicle to project energy into another being, a living being, move energy around and heal doing that method. And that's what this boy Adam does. But he does it telepathically because he does it long distance.
Right. Now, this woman is having workshops all over the country. Is that correct?
Yes, you can go to healingtouchforanimals.com, and you can find out where her workshops are. But it's all the same thing. It's all entering the telepathic field where there is vast amounts of information. Animals have access to it at all times. And so if you ask them a question, they can give you phenomenal answers. It's not just, you know, did you like the treat I gave you? Ask them what's going on in their world, and you can ask them, what do you have to teach me, like my cards say. And they can give you some pretty profound answers.
I know when either my husband or myself, we weren't feeling well, we would go to bed and lay down. And I remember Squeaker, when one of us was sick, no matter where she was, she would come running and she would stay with, you know, whoever was in bed at the time. And she would stay with us, and it was actually comforting.
Yes.
So I used to say that she was our little nurse.
Yeah, what they do is they take their healing energy and they come up against the part of your aura or your energy field that is sort of rippled. And they go there, and they can take their energy and your energy. So if your energy is a 5 and there is a 10 at that spot, they can combine with yours and make it a 750 between the two of you. So they can raise you, but they can't raise your energy higher than theirs. They can only bring you up because it costs them some energy to do that. And that's what this horse does.
Yeah, I had a sense that my Squeaker could do that. I said she would come. I said, I don't know if she realizes what she's doing, but she's there. She's doing something for us. you know, when you don't feel good and she's there, I could feel a difference.
You know, they do know exactly what part of the body to go to. If they can see auras, they're very aware of energy, and they understand it because they're all connected. I had a lady that I talked to this week who was very much like you, Dolores, and she they lost their, I believe it was a cat. They lost their cat, and they did the same thing. They didn't have a funeral at the funeral home or in the cemetery because they buried her in the yard. But they made a big thing for her. They wrapped her in pure silk and let her little head stick out. And they said prayers from their prayer book from church. And they blessed her and thanked her for being in their life. And they dug a grave, and then they let her be there for a short time so they could say their prayers for her. And then they put her in the ground and then put a stone on her on the top to mark it until they could get her a marker. And she's buried next to another cat that we used to be in the family that had passed away. And when I contacted this kitty in the spirit world, that's who she was with, the other kitty.
Oh, that's great to know. And I'm hoping that my cat Squeakers
Who's the black kitty? There's a black kitty with her that's very happy to see her. And here it was the other kitty that lived in their home and had died.
That's comforting.
It is comforting because you don't have to feel like they're alone.
I haven't sensed anything about Squeaker. You know, I know she's with me, but I know you said when she had first died, she was in the arms of the angel, and you really couldn't communicate with her at that time.
Because she had just died that
right.
day.
Right. But I think I almost think that because I am so close to her, that something within myself, I'm blocking myself from being able to communicate with her right now.
It's the pain and the grieving. It blocks you from hearing their communications to you. But they, most animals, when they die, they stay around the house for about 2 weeks. And that's because they want you to recognize their energy without their physical body. Because, like I said, the afterlife dimension is not out beyond the sky somewhere.
Is it possible for animals to send us a sign? I was in deep
yes.
prayer. I was playing a very, beautiful song. St. Francis of Assisi wrote, you know, the Canticle of the Sun, where all creation is giving praise to God, and it was put to a song, and I heard this, and I went outside, and I just felt so spiritual, and I asked God, I said, could you please, Lord, somehow give me a sign, and I couldn't believe it, but this huge black butterfly came flying over me, circled around a few times, and landed in the hedge. You know, the hedges out on my patio, and just kept opening and closing its wings, solid black with just a few little white spots. And I wondered, could that be the sign that I had asked for?
Yes, of course.
Because I don't see butterflies that often, you know, where I live.
A lot of people see birds, too, like turtle doves or just very small white doves. And they come and they'll sit on the windowsill. Others see small white rabbits. Usually if the animal is white, it's an angelic being.
I figured because Squeaker was black, that's why I made the comparison.
Yes,
of
yes.
Solid
because
black
that's
butterfly.
How you recognized her.
I'm not
they come
she
in a way
was
that you
the
can
butterfly, but
them.
I think she sent the butterfly. Because
they do. They do. They do, in fact, send other animals to communicate with you. A lot of people are able to see their animal's full body in the house.
I wish I could.
It's like
but
they're
I have
still
not.
There. They see it out of the corner of their eye.
I spoke to many people who have said that, but that has not happened for me. That's okay. I want Squeaker to be happy in heaven. I don't want her to come back. I just want her to be playing and romping in the fields, just like the poem Rainbow Bridge says.
Right, and that's what she's doing.
Wonderful.
It was very wonderful for you to share this with us. A lot of people think they're being silly, and of course, people...
That's it.
People
That's
say...
That's why I had to bring this up, because I don't want to feel like I'm alone.
You're not alone. Other people do the same thing. But there are people who say, oh, it's just a cat. Go to the pound and
exactly.
get another one.
Exactly.
I don't know if they could feel that way. It's like they have no heart. Don't they understand how much love animals give us and how special that is? If they've never experienced that, I'm sorry for them. Because they're missing the whole thing.
I had a priest friend who absolutely said to me, Dolores, animals do not go to heaven. I said, Father Matt, I am going to pray for you. A year later, someone had given him a puppy, which he loves. He loves this dog named Jake.
He's going to change his mind.
He came to visit me, and I said, you know, Father Matt, I prayed that God would in some way allow you to know the truth. I said, so? He says, all right, all right. I said, so, about the hat? He says, yes, yes, yes. And it's just the change in him. And he said that this dog has taught him so much about love and forgiveness.
Yes, and about
God. So many
God.
Lessons. He's a military priest, and this dog has taught him so much. So I'm glad that I got one more person out of
yeah.
trouble. He now believes.
I've had people say that to me, too. And a lot of people want to know, if I cremate my dog, can it still reincarnate and come back to me? Yes, it can. There is no, there's nothing, once the remains are gone, they're gone. And it doesn't matter if you bury them or if they're cremated or whatever. That body is gone and it's going to go back to dust one way or another. But
yeah, that's
the spirit lives on. And because the spirit lives on, that spirit can create a new body, a new hologram, which is their body. And I hope people understand what I'm talking about when I say a hologram. A hologram is a projection of the soul into a physical form. And the aura that you see around a person is their spirit. And the physical being that you see, whether it's animal or human or plant, is the hologram. It's all a light show.
Great. I received an email from Father Costa from the United States Military Academy, and he said, remember, Dolores, pets come from heaven and then wait for us when they go back to heaven.
Well, some of them wait for us. A lot of them come back. It's very common for an animal to come back and live with you some more because they're part of your energy. They're part of your soul group. And they've been with you in every lifetime in one form or another. And sometimes it's not convenient for that being to come back as a human. Now, my husband has been dead for 92, so about 14 years already. What good would it do for him to come back as a human? But he could come back as a nice little kitty and sleep in my bed and give me love and be with me. So not, you know, there's no hierarchy in the spirit world. You can have any life experience you want. If you want to be a flower, you can. If you want to be an animal, you can. If you want to be a human, you can. It depends on the situation. But souls tend to come back in groups. And that includes people that have had similar life experiences as yourself. And that would include animals and relatives. And somewhere it's said in the Vedic literature is that everyone you meet has been your mother at one time. I don't know if that's true.
That's
but it's certainly an interesting concept. Because life is eternal.
Right. I did have a cat that passed away several years ago, and even though I don't believe she came back, I know she sent another cat to me because I believe she taught this cat different little characteristics that
right.
she used to do.
They do that too. They will send friends. They'll send their friends to you. They will be, sometimes they're animals they met in the spirit world. Sometimes they're animals they met before. And if they're not going to come back, they'll send you a friend. So that you're never alone.
Yeah.
God always makes sure
that's what I tend
that
to
you
believe.
Have love around you.
I believe that those that die go to their eternal bliss.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I have to take a break for a commercial.
Okay.
Be sure to listen to BBS Radio on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. for Metaphysical Straight Talk with my friend Atira Hatton. Atira is a gifted psychic who can tune into your heart's mission in this life. She is associated with Edgar Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment and is a sought-after speaker on spirituality and metaphysics. If there is a particular topic that you would like to hear about animals, please email me at talktopets@aol.com, or you can visit my website at www.petstellthetruth.com. If you like the show, you can contact their producers at bbsradio.com and let them know that you would like to hear more of this kind of programming. If you would like a personal consultation with me, please email me at talktopets@aol.com and I will contact you back about a time and making a scheduling appointment. Be sure to listen in to Allison Baumann right after the show is over for her numerology insights. Allison is a remarkable numerologist. She is very thorough in her work, and she has years of experience and is recognized as one of the top two numerologists in the country. And her show is on right after this one. Okay. Dolores, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, and
thank you for sharing such personal your personal experience with your cat. I'm sure that the listeners feel the same way. I'm sure many of them are sobbing listening to your story and remembering their own.
Thank you.
Give us such beautiful love. I don't know anything that is closer to the Creator's love except animals' love.
Amen.
And they make an impact on our life like nothing else can. Not our children, not our husbands, not our parents. It is such a special, innocent love. There is nothing like it on this earth. Laura?
Yes, thank you very much. It was a pleasure. It was very healing for me to talk about my beloved Squeaker.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the producers would like to thank you for listening in. This is Dr. Agnes Thomas saying good night, and please listen to us again, and stay tuned for Allison Baumann.